Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we are studying in the second part of the book of Daniel. And in our study today, we're at the eighth chapter of the book of Daniel. So let us begin in prayer, and then we will get into the reading and discussion of this chapter. Father, thank you. We just praise you, Father, for your word that is truth. Thank you, Father, that you allow us to know you by reading and studying your word. And, Father, we ask now that as we come together to study, that your Holy Spirit that dwells in our hearts will teach us, guide us, and direct us. Thank you so much for your love and for your mercy. And we love you. And thank you, Father, for Jesus, your only begotten Son. And I ask it now in the name of Jesus. So we're going to continue in this study by reviewing some of the things that we've already studied to get our minds into the picture of the book of Daniel that God gave to Daniel to write it down, that we might learn more of what a sovereign and a mighty God that he is. Looking back, we know that Israel had been taken captive because of disobedience of God, and Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, was taken to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar, and they were in the first siege of Jerusalem, and then there were two other sieges that took place later, and the third brought the destruction of Jerusalem. So we're learning as we study that God Most High rules over the realm of mankind. And he bestows it on whomever he wishes. Now, we have studied in chapter 1 through 6 of Daniel and learned that it was about the kings of Babylon and that they had dreams and visions of future kingdoms. And Daniel did the interpreting of these dreams by God. He had prayed, and God had given him the dreams and the interpretation. And now we're studying in the last half of this study, which is chapter 7 through chapter 12. And we have learned already that Daniel is the one that's having the visions, and it's of the future kingdoms. And here we see that God's angel is the one that interprets the dreams. Now, let's look at our chart that we have of Daniel 2, of the statue that was in the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. And then we'll compare that with chapter 7, of the seven beasts. So going back then to the statue of King Nebuchadnezzar, we saw that the head was of gold, and it represented Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And then in chapter 7, we saw that the lion represented the first kingdom of Babylon. So that would be this same head of gold that we studied in chapter 2. Now, the breast and the arms of the statue were of silver, and it was showing the next kingdom, which was Medo-Persian kingdom. And then when we got to chapter 7, we learned that the bear raised on one side represented the Persians, dominated by the Medes. And then, as we look further at the statue, the belly and the thighs were of bronze, and they were the third kingdom that was to rule over the earth, which is Greece. And in chapter 7, the four-headed leopard with it had wings, and that tied in with the belly and the thighs, that tied in with that kingdom. Remember, as we're studying, that this study is about kings and kingdoms. Now, the legs and the feet in the statue of iron and clay represented the fourth kingdom that was different from the rest. And then we saw in chapter 7 that Daniel's vision, he saw this dreadful, terrifying beast, and it had 10 horns. So it was 10 kings plus one. So we know that this all comes together to represent kings and kingdoms. And then we know in that last kingdom at the statue in chapter 2 was a stone. And that's God's kingdom that will put an end to all earthly kingdoms. And it will endeavor forever and it'll never be destroyed. Now, let's look at Daniel chapter 8. We have this in mind, so we want to look at verse 1. And in verse 1 it says, in the third year of the reign of Belshazzar, the king, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, subsequent to the one which appeared to me previously. So, this is the third year of the king Belshazzar, and he is the last king of the Babylonian Empire. So we see then that Daniel's vision that he had in chapter 7 before this chapter was 2 years before. Now it's been 2 years later. And there's been about 50 or 55 years between Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. And so Daniel, about this time, was 70 years old. Remember, he was a youth. He was either from 15 to 17 when he was brought into captivity. And it's been about 55 years. So that would make him be somewhere around 70 years old. This is when he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2. Now, we are going to see also that the Medo-Persian king came immediately after the Babylonian. And Belshazzar, tells us in this first verse, was the king defeated by Darius the Mede. And then Daniel 5 took place about 11 years after Daniel 8. So we have to kind of look at a timeline so that we can keep in mind who is the king and when it's taking place. So Daniel has interpreted the statue dream of Nebuchadnezzar, and he had the vision in Daniel 7 about the beast, which was about 55 years later. And then 2 years after that, he had the vision in Daniel 8 in the third year of Belshazzar. About 11 years later, the Babylonian Empire came to an end. And this is whenever Belshazzar died in Daniel chapter 5. That's where we learned that. Now, look at chapter 8, verse 2. I looked, Daniel, I looked at the vision, and while I was looking, I was in the citadel of Susa, which is in the province of Elam, and I looked in the vision, and I myself was beside the Eula Canal. So here we see where it took place when Daniel had this vision. It was at the citadel of Susa in the province of Elam beside the Eula Canal. Now Susa was the winter capital of the Persian Empire, which is now modern Iran. And Cyrus made Susa a capital city. Cyrus was that last king that Daniel was under. But the time of Daniel 8 is about 11 years before the end of the Babylonian Empire. And we learned in chapters 2 and 7 that Daniel knew that there were three more earthly kingdoms to rule the people before God's kingdom was revealed. But until the vision of Daniel 8, he didn't know which kingdoms would follow. So he would have been in the capital of the Babylonian Empire when he had this vision, when he entered in Susa using the Eula Canal. Now, I want to read verses 3 through 14, and we'll look and see what is taking place. And then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a ram which had two horns was standing in front of the canal. Now the two horns were long, but one was longer than the other, and the longer one coming up last. And I saw the ram budding westward, northward, southward, and no other beast could stand before him, nor was there anyone to rescue from his power. But he did as he pleased and magnified himself. While I was observing, behold, a male goat was coming from the west over the surface of the whole earth, without touching the ground, and the goat had a conspicuous horn between his eyes, and he came up to the ram that had the two horns, which I had seen standing in front of the canal, and rushed at him in his mighty wrath. And I saw him come beside the ram, and he raged at him. And he struck the ram and shattered his two horns. And the ram had no strength to withstand. So he hurled him to the ground and trampled on him. And there was none to rescue the ram from his power. And then the male magnified himself exceedingly. But as soon as he had magnified himself mighty, the large horn was broken, and in its place there came up four conspicuous horns toward the four winds of heaven, and out of one of them came forth a rather small horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, toward the beautiful land, and it grew up to the host of heaven, and caused some of the host and some of the stars to fall to the earth, and it trampled them down. It even magnified itself to be equal with the commander of the host, and it removed the regular sacrifice from him, and the place of his sanctuary was thrown down, and on account of transgression, the host will be given over to the horn along with the regular sacrifice, and will fling true to the ground and perform its will and prosper. Then I heard a holy one speaking and another holy one to that particular one who was speaking. How long will the vision about the regular sacrifice apply while the transgression causes honor so as to allow both the holy place and the host to be trampled. And he said to me, for 2,300 evenings and mornings, then the holy place will be properly restored. Now let's look back and see what these verses are saying. Standing here in front of the Eula Canal was a ram with two horns, one longer than the other. And we see that the ram butted westward, northward, southward. So, now then, we're seeing that no other beast could stand before him until a goat from the west came to the canal, and he was enraged and mighty with wrath at the ram, and he shattered his horns and trampled the ram. And then the goat became powerful, and before whom none could stand. Now remember that these beasts are all representing kings and kingdoms. So you have to keep that in mind. But it's going to give the interpretation when we get to the end of the chapter. And we're seeing that the goat, that it became mighty, and that his horn was broken off, and then four others came up, and a smaller one, and it grew exceedingly great toward the south, east, and the beautiful land. So you're looking now at the beautiful land. It represents Israel. That would have been the beautiful land of Daniel. And then that horn grew up, that beast, that horn, that king, in the host of heaven, and caused some of them and some stars to fall to the earth, and then it trampled them. And it magnified itself to be equal with the commander of the host, and removed the regular sacrifice. So the host was given to the horn because of the host's transgression. So in verse 13 and 14, we want to connect the host with the holy place and the regular sacrifice. This is where the duration of the event is given. It's the time of this event that's going to take place. We read in chapter 13 and 14, it's 2,300 evenings and mornings. The host and the holy place will be trampled by the horn for 6 years, 4 months, and 20 days, or 76 months and 20 days. So we're going to read now and go on so that we can bring this together when we get to the interpretation. Reading verses 15 through 17. And when I, Daniel, had seen the vision, I sought to understand it, and behold, standing before me was one who looked like a man. And I heard the voice of a man between the banks of Eula, and he called out and said, Gabriel, give this man an understanding of the vision. So he came near to where I was standing, and when he came, I was frightened and fell on my face. But he said to me, Son of man, understand that the vision pertains to the time of the end. So let's look at those verses. Daniel sought understanding of the vision. And so it is implying that he did not have the God-given ability to interpret the dream and the vision as he had earlier. And so Gabriel, we know, is said one who looked like a man. Gabriel is an angel of God, was directed by a voice, which was a voice of God, to give understanding to Daniel. So Daniel's reactions of being frightened and falling on his face showed that Gabriel was an angel sent by God. And he told him that the vision pertained to the end of time. It was the time of end, the future, not present, but future. Now, let's look at verses 18 through 26. Now, while he was talking with me, I sank into a deep sleep with my face to the ground. This is Daniel. But he touched me and made me stand upright. And he said, "Behold, I am going to let you know what will occur at the final period of the indignation, for it pertains to the appointed time of the end. The man, the ram which you saw with the two horns represents," now this is where he's giving him what this vision's about. The ram of which you saw with the two horns represents the kings of Media and Persia. And the shaggy goat represents the kingdom of Greece. And the large horn that is between the eyes of the first king, the broken horn and the four horns that arose in its place represent four kingdoms which will arise from his nation, although not with his power, in the latter period of their rule, when the transgressions have run their course, a king will arise, insolent and skilled in intrigue, and his power will be mighty, but not by his own power, and he will destroy to an extraordinary decree and prosper and perform his will. He will destroy mighty men and the holy people, and through his shrewdness he will cause deceit to succeed by his influence, and he will magnify himself in his heart. And he will destroy many while they are at ease. He will even oppose the prince of princesses, but he will be broken without human agency. The vision of the evenings and mornings which has been told is true, but keep this vision secret, for it pertains to many days in the future. So let's see now what this is referring to. We're seeing here that this interpretation puts us back into a connection, in Daniel 2 through 7. Daniel sank into a deep sleep with his face to the ground. That's going back to verse 18, and we're going through 26. But Gabriel, God's angels, touched him and made him stand and gave him understanding. So, remember that all of these visions has really affected Daniel greatly. And so, it all pertains to the future of his people, the Jews, who were in captivity because of their disobedience to God. So Gabriel said that he would let Daniel know what would occur at the final period of indignation. It pertains to the appointed time of the end, the future that we haven't lived in yet. So, the fourth kingdom with 10 kings right before the kingdom is set up. That's what we see as we studied that statue and of the beast that Daniel saw in his vision. But the rest of the interpretation shows that the ram represents the Medo-Persian kingdom and the goat represents Greece. And this is really the first time that Greece is mentioned in Daniel. So we know that since Greece conquered and trampled the Medo-Persian Empire, then it would be the third kingdom of the statue, and it would also be the leopard that Daniel saw in chapter 7. So, now then, let's look at a little bit of history about the Persians and the Greeks. The first horn of the goat represented Alexander the Great, who conquered Persia first, and then more of the world with amazing speed. But he died suddenly at a young age, and his kingdom was divided between four of his generals. So this is where you see this kingdom that was divided here in this beast that Daniel saw. And also the toes, the legs and the toes that were part iron and part clay. And so it was divided then because Alexander the Great did not have a son to receive the heresy from him. And so his kingdoms were divided by his four generals. So the time of this vision is still during the Babylonian kingdom. So Daniel knew well before the end of the Babylonian kingdom that the Medes and the Persians would be the ones that would conquer Babylon. And he also knew 11 years before that happened, that goes back to Daniel chapter 5, that Greece would conquer the Medo-Persian kingdom, and that would be a different kingdom, which would then take over the whole world before the kingdom of God would put an end to it. So, the head of gold on the statue was Nebuchadnezzar, and the lion that Daniel saw in his vision represented the kingdom of Babylon, that head of gold. So the breast and the arms represented the kingdom of Media and Persia. And then in Daniel's vision in chapter 7, the bear raised on one side, and then the third kingdom of bronze belly and thighs was Greece. And Daniel's vision of the leopard was Greece with the four heads. And then the four horns of Daniel 8:22 were four kingdoms arising from the nation of Greece, founded by Alexander's four generals that we just talked about. Now, in the latter period of their rule, the four from the Greek Empire, a king would arise. And this would relate to the transgressors after they had run their course. And the transgressors were by the host of the commander. And the host is the Jews. That's who the hosts are. And Daniel's people, Israel, the holy people, that's what we learned in verse 24. And they transgressed against the Lord God, and he brought another king to rule over them. So this is why that we see that Daniel, as he had seen this vision, became very distressed. And he also saw in his vision, as we read those last verses 18 through 26, that the king was mighty, but not by his own power, and destroyed to an extraordinary degree. He even opposed the prince of princesses. So, broken without human agency means that his death was not caused by man. His death came about by God himself. So, we learned that this vision of the evenings and the mornings, that the king would rule God's people for 6 years and almost 5 months, pertain to many days in the future from the time that Daniel saw it. Now, let's look at the chronological how it fits, this vision, into the kingdoms of Daniel and 7. Although verse 19 says clearly that the vision pertains to the appointed time of the end of the fourth kingdom, it is also clear that the king of this chapter came from the Greek Empire, not the fourth one. So the final period of the indignation is for the third kingdom, the time described in chapter 8, verses 23 through 25. And we read those verses. I'm not going to go through them again, but go back, mark that down, and you can see how this fits chronologically with chapter 2 through 7. So the king, skilled in intrigue, he magnified himself to be equal with the commander, the host, who is God, and who opposed the prince of princesses, and that sounds like the king of the last 3.5 years. But they come from two different kingdoms, one from the third, which was Greece, and one from the fourth. So, historically, as we studied about Antiochus the fourth, Epiphanes, was the king of Daniel 8, and he ruled the Syrian Empire, which Seleucus the first, Nicator, had received in the initial division of the Greek Empire. Now, Antiochus Epiphanes foreshadowed the coming king of the fourth kingdom. So, that foreshadow of that fourth kingdom, Antiochus Epiphanes, is a foreshadow of him who will be the Antichrist that is in the last days, the end times. Antiochus came against the Jews in the land of Israel to the degree that he desecrated the altar in the rebuilt temple. So his transgression began in 171 B.C. and continued until 164 B.C. So that is pertaining to the amount of time as evenings and mornings. Although Antiochus was on a military campaign at the time of his death, he died of a disease without human agency. We read that as we finished out. But let's look at the very last verse of chapter 8. Then I, Daniel, was exhausted and sick for days, And then I got up again and I carried on the king's business. But I was astounded at the vision, and there was none to explain it. So here we see how that this vision that was given to Daniel was so astounding that he said that it made him sick because he was so astounded over it. And he says there were none to explain it. So, as we go forward in the remainder of these studies in 9, 10, 11, and 12, we're going to see again that God is superior and that He will give Daniel an understanding of this vision that he has allowed him to have. So, as we study in our next study, we're going to be in chapter 9, and in this study, we will see more about how that God is giving Daniel the understanding as he gives him these visions. So, just don't get bogged down and feel that it's too much to understand, because God is the author and He is the one that gives us His word, and He will give us understanding through His word if we ask, if we seek, and we knock. God will always answer and give us understanding. The more we study, the more understanding that we'll get. So let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that we can't understand Your Word unless You, through Your Holy Spirit, gives us that understanding. But Father, that's why that Jesus died for us, to cover our sins, to take away our sins. Father, that we might have the Holy Spirit come and live in us, Your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, a part of the Trinity that does give us understanding. And You teach us throughout Your Word that if we will really seek out understanding, that You will open Your doors and give us understanding. And I pray for each and everyone that's listening that You will give all of us understanding. Father, just keep me humble at Your feet, that You may use me, and that You may get all the honor and all the glory. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.